They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We're watching the price of oil today after the second largest producer in the world shakes up management. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, oil market participants are reacting to Saudi Arabia's leadership shakeup announced over the weekend. The Saudi king is attempting a roots-to-branches overhaul as the country tries to diversify from its dependence on fossil fuel production. Out is the longtime Saudi oil minister Ali Al-Naimi. In is the younger technocrat Khaled Al-Fali with experience in healthcare policy and at the huge Saudi oil company Aramco. John Svakianakis is a former economic advisor to the Saudi government and is now with the Gulf Research Center in Riyadh. He says the new oil minister is pledging not to cut production in a bid to keep the country's market share.
He says, look, I'm going to produce oil. I don't really care where the price of oil is, and I'm going to go after the production of oil at any cost, because I know I'm producing oil at a very low price. My cost is at $9 a barrel, whereas for everybody else it's at $30, $40. I'm not going to accommodate for the high-cost producer. I'm going to accommodate for myself and others like myself, like the other Gulf oil-producing countries.
Crude oil is up 2.1% at the moment to $45.62 a barrel in New York, but some of that move upward is the massive wildfire in western Canada that's burning near some of the shale oil fields. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2 to 3/10% range. The biggest of U.S. cities is joining Washington, D.C. and Buenos Aires, requiring stores to charge for paper and plastic bags. Starting in October, New York City will require a 5-cent per bag charge. This was a contentious issue for the New York City Council. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more on New Yorkers and their bags.
No one likes a hassle, least of all New Yorkers.
5 cents to take a plastic bag out of a grocery store.
Another little annoyance.
Just one more thing. That complicates my life.
Gregory Banks, Adolf Teams, and Miriam Gonzalez, New Yorkers all. How will it affect grocery bills, people ask? How will it affect people picking up dog poop? The hassle is, of course, the point. Brad Lander helped sponsor the bill.
The policy works because the idea of paying 5 cents for these bags is really irritating.
Lander says there's nothing stopping New Yorkers from bringing reusable bags. One place that's been through this before is Washington, D.C., back in 2009. Tom Sherwood is a longtime correspondent for D.C.'s NBC affiliate.
Well, you know, you're talking about somebody's personal behavior. People just don't like to be kind of told what to do.
But he says bag fees worked. By some surveys, usage went down by 60%. The revenue from the bag fee doesn't go to New York City. It actually goes to the stores that supply the bags. Oh, and plastic bags for dog poop are pretty cheap online. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
SBA isn't just Sabri's initials. It also stands for Shopping Bag Amnesia. You dutifully put reusable carriers in your car before you go shopping, but do you ever remember to bring them into the grocery store? Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org. It so happens that sometimes the things we fight the most about are often the things we know the least about. A case in point, I think, is welfare. If you ask most Americans, what is welfare today? How does it work? We're often not so sure. Which brings us to a new series and a new podcast from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty team. Senior correspondent Chrissy Clark is here to tell us more about it.
So the name of the podcast is The Uncertain Hour. It's a sort of documentary mini-series, and this season is all about what the heck welfare is now.
All right, so give us a taste.
One of the more shocking statistics, for me at least, was the number of poor families today who are not on cash welfare. In fact, nationwide, less than 3 in 10 families living in poverty receives cash assistance, meaning that those other families who are not on welfare have trouble affording even basic necessities. And this one woman we talked to in the series, Laura Grennan, described what that means for her in day-to-day terms.
When you're down to your last dollar and it's, well, do I go buy a 4-pack of toilet paper or do I get cough syrup for my kids?
So part of what we're looking at is why the welfare rolls have dropped so much when poverty has not. And some of that has to do with the work restrictions that were put in place during welfare reform. But some of it has to do with the fact that welfare has just become this much weirder program. It actually now involves dozens of different goals, from promoting marriage to teaching abstinence to patching state budget holes. So it's this really complicated patchwork.
But picking up on those work restrictions, the requirements piece, in your report, you also get into this fascinating story, I think, about some of the more impassioned welfare reformers who really push this welfare to work philosophy.
Yeah. So there's this guy, Larry Townsend, who was the head of a county welfare office in California. And back in the 90s, he got the nickname the magic bureaucrat because, at least at first, he seemed to be really successful at getting welfare recipients in his county into jobs. And he had some very unconventional tactics, including producing an entire CD of what he called work ethic songs. I actually brought you a little bit of it right now.
Welfare is temporary. It is not a way of life, he sang.
Yeah. And amazingly enough, the CD and the man behind it really influenced welfare reform and its emphasis on pushing people to get a job, any job, over trying to get training and education so that maybe they could find a better paying job. And that approach, which has been largely embraced across the country now, has had some unintended and not always so great consequences today.
Chrissy Clark with Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty team. We look forward to listening. You can find out more on the Uncertain Hour podcasts. Chrissy, thank you.
Thank you.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.